From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo easily defeats Cynthia Nixon in the Democratic primary for governor. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on the major election results, including governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and the state senate. And we take you to a 9/11 commemoration ceremony at SUNY Plattsburgh. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo handily won in a Democratic primary this week against actor Cynthia Nixon. Cuomo's current Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul also won, as did Cuomo's choice for Attorney General, New York City Public Advocate Tish James. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt has the results.
A large campaign war chest, substantial spending on television ads, and union support paid off for Cuomo as he beat back a primary challenge from the left from actor and education advocate Cynthia Nixon. Cuomo did not appear in public, but in recent days he focused his message not on his accomplishments or on his opponent, but on his fight against President Trump and Trump's policies, and it seems the strategy paid off. Cuomo held multiple get-out-the-vote rallies in the days leading up to the primary.
I need you to vote for me. I want to send a message to this president that says, no, it's not just me, Mr. Trump. It's every New Yorker who believes you are repulsive to what we believe.
Nixon, in her concession speech, told supporters that she was proud of what her campaign accomplished.
We took on one of the most powerful governors in America, and it wasn't easy. We had to fight just to get on the ballot. Yeah. We had to fight just to get a debate. Yeah. And we started with nothing and we earned every single vote.
But she expressed some bitterness over dirty campaign tactics, including a mailer to Jewish voters approved by a former top aide to Governor Cuomo. It falsely accused Nixon of anti-Semitism. She attends a synagogue and has Jewish children.
Our allies and endorsers were threatened. My family was slandered.
Nixon says she's pleased that she pulled Cuomo to the left on several issues, including legalizing marijuana, and that she caused him to spend nearly $500,000 a day in the final days of the race. Cuomo's Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul more narrowly defeated New York City Council member Jumaane Williams. He's better known in New York City. Hochul sounded relieved when she spoke to reporters in Buffalo Thursday night.
Well, I was going into it as an underdog. A lot of people said that the numbers would be against me, that I couldn't possibly beat someone out of vote-rich Brooklyn. And so we've been fighting tooth and nail every single day for every single vote.
And the Democratic Party establishment's choice for Attorney General, New York City Public Advocate Tish James, won the AG primary ahead of Fordham Law Professor Zephyr Teachout, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, and Buffalo Attorney Licia Eve. While Cuomo and the other statewide candidates who ran with him kept their seats, some former members of a controversial breakaway group of Democrats in the Senate lost to their primary challengers. Members of the Independent Democratic Conference were blamed by many Democrats on the left for helping keep Republicans in power in the state Senate for the past several years. Among those who lost, former IDC leader Jeff Klein. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gastina. Joining us now is Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Well, New York held primaries this week and a number of races to talk about. Alan, it looks like Governor Andrew Cuomo got Christmas in September. He easily fends off Cynthia Nixon in his primary, the gubernatorial primary. Now we'll take on Mark Molinaro, Republican. And he also got his pick for Attorney General Letitia James.
Well, David, that's right. Cuomo continues to dominate in New York City. An awful lot of people know that Cuomo name. Of course, you know, he has had his problems about reverse anti-Semitic letters, in which Larry Schwartz used to be his top man, as now, quote, a volunteer, unquote, who says it was his job to review whatever was going out. And yes, it was bad what went out, which accused Cynthia Nixon of being an anti-Semite, which was absolute and utter nonsense. A woman who's raising her children Jewish who goes to shul herself. When Schwartz, of course, said famously, now it will go down in New York history. The bad stuff was on the other side of the paper. I forgot to turn it over. That's as good as it gets. Forgot to turn it over. So anyway, he won. Tish James is this person. No matter what she says, whether or not she's going to be up to keeping tabs on him and his administration is anybody's guess. Sean Patrick Maloney has to go back and face his congressional people, and hopefully for him, he can have his seat back, but it's a tough district, and there may be a few people who will remember the fact that he was going to desert them. From his perspective, I hope not, because, you know, this Congress could be flipped by one vote, and that might be the one vote. So there'll be some looking back on that one. What else is going on? There's obviously this huge story about all the IDC, the Independent Democratic Conference, finding itself out of luck. People were so ticked off about the way in which these IDC members kept the Republicans in power for so long, and they weren't going to forget it. And this time, they all got opponents and pretty much got wiped out, including their leader, Jeff Klein. The Working Families Party, of course, put many of these people up to running in the primaries, and they get a lot of credit for that, even though Cynthia Nixon, their standard bearer, did not win. And that's where it is right now.
Another interesting race we talked about, the governor's lieutenant governor, Kathy Hochul, squeaked past Jamani Williams, the New York City councilman who took her on.
Well, that's right. You know, he really ran a vigorous campaign. He worked very hard. Wasn't enough. The governor won by a lot, and he pulled his lieutenant governor pick over. It doesn't hurt her that she's a very competent woman, and she speaks extremely well. And she seems to be, at least from the time I spent with her, to be nice. So if she's permitted to be more than window dressing, it'll be great for her. She found out early on that Andrew Cuomo is not exactly a nice guy. When it looked like she was going to be inconvenient to him, he told her to basically get lost and go back and run for Congress, which ironically she would have won, of course, because Chris Collins is now indicted and in real trouble, but she didn't know it at the time. But anyway, she said no to him. She said, I'm not going to do that. And sure enough, she prevailed. So good for her.
As we go forward, I mentioned Republican Marcus Molinaro, Dutchess County, former Dutchess County executive. Your thoughts on that race going forward? I would imagine in a Trump year, it leans heavily towards Cuomo.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, David, I live in Massachusetts, and one of the things about this state is we have a Republican governor in the bluest state in the country, and that's because he's a Republican, Mr. Baker, meaning that he's indicated that Trump is not to his liking in a lot of ways. The Democrats think he's done an honest, fair broker job as governor, and he's extremely popular. Molinaro, if he's smart, will follow the Baker model and will say, that's for me. I'm a Democrat, too, you know, and I'm going to put out signals that Trump is really bad news. So far, I haven't seen that, at least not to my satisfaction. So unless he's willing to really rev it up and to become the people's candidate in New York State, where people have very definite views on Trump, I think he loses, and he loses bad.
Your conversation with Ken Lovett centered at one point around the governor saying that he was not going to run for president. And Ken said, well, anything can change and move the ball to make it so that he decides he needs to. And with this resounding win, does that put that ball more in the court?
Well, I'm sure the governor sees it that way. Now he's got to get over having said, you know, he could basically take God's wrath if he broke his word and went to run for president. No, it's funny how these things change. Alphonse D'Amato once had the quote of the century in which he said to a reporter, "That was then, this is now." And, you know, politicians have a way of lying. Cuomo has a lot of problems. I am sure that some of the stuff that has happened in the past will come back and bite him in the rear end. So he has to be very, very careful.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. The Cuomo administration is holding public listening sessions across the state on the legalization of marijuana. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard attended the first hearing in Albany.
In January, Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that he would direct state agencies to review the potential impact of legalizing marijuana. In July, the New York State Health Department released a report saying the positive effects of a regulated marijuana market outweigh the negatives. Now the public has a chance to weigh in. Consultant Sandra Houston moderated Wednesday's event at the Albany Capital Center, the first of 15 public listening sessions scheduled across the state.
It's for us to get input from the community and key stakeholders on the development of legislation that would inform a regulated adult-use marijuana program.
Houston said the information would be shared with a work group that will develop legislation. Attendees lined up to speak both for and against marijuana legalization, though a majority seemed to be in favor. Reverend Henry McGrath is executive director of a Fulton County-based group called Neighborhoods Against Drugs.
Just legalize marijuana in New York State, and we support that because we fight Neighborhoods Against Drugs, fights the opioid epidemic. And it's undeniable that marijuana, right, is used to help fight heroin addiction and opioid addictions, especially for veterans.
McGrath's group conducted its own survey on marijuana use. Nearly 90% of respondents believed marijuana use should be legalized in New York. Many at the hearing shared their personal health problems. Attendees credited medical marijuana as providing relief for those living with cancer, Crohn's disease, and other illnesses. A common complaint, however, was the high cost of medical cannabis products in New York. Currently, medical marijuana is legal in 30 states. Recreational marijuana is legal in 9. The federal government still considers marijuana an illegal drug. Beyond the medical benefits of legalizing adult use, others discussed the social and racial impact, including Albany resident Charles Obar Robinson.
The black market. Now it's about to be the white market. So, does that make it right? No, that makes a lot of money.
According to the Health Department report, retail sales and taxation of marijuana could generate between $248 million and $677 million annually. Robinson, along with others, support the expunging of records for those who have faced criminal charges for possession of marijuana. As the governor's office continues its listening sessions through October, a group of Democrats in the New York State Assembly will hold their own hearings on marijuana legalization. Albany State Assemblywoman Patricia Fahey, a Democrat, said marijuana legalization is a complicated issue, but she's keeping an open mind. Though she has several concerns, Fahey supports the concept of clearing the records of those previously convicted on marijuana charges.
Either way, I'm going to fully support the full decriminalization and the full expunging of record for those with possession.
Future two-hour public listening sessions begin at 6 p.m. The next session is set for tonight on the campus of SUNY Adirondack in the town of Queensbury. For more information, visit WAMC.org. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
Two New York State lawmakers are renewing their call for a mandated study on rail crossings. The Democrats were at a crossing recently in Rockland County where a pedestrian was struck and killed by a train. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn reports.
State Senator David Carlucci and Assemblyman Tom Abenanti, both Democrats, were at the scene of the accident a day later, September 6th, to call on the State Department of Transportation to produce a study that legislation required be submitted by April 2017. Here's Carlucci.
A family is in mourning because we haven't improved the safety on our rails in decades.
The lawmaker stood with the family of the victim who was struck by a CSX train near the Main Street and Conger Avenue rail grade crossing in Haverstraw.
As a lawmaker, as a leader in New York State, I feel like I'm in the dark. I feel like the only way attention is brought is when someone is killed on the tracks. And that's not a policy that should continue. We have to be proactive instead of reactive.
The legislation mandates a DOT study of New York's more than 5,300 level grade rail crossings. Here's Abenanti.
I mean, how many deaths does it take before the Department of Transportation and, frankly, the governor of the state of New York recognize it's time to take action?
A DOT spokesman says the department is still finalizing the study and plans to release it soon. This was the statement similarly given in March when Abenanti and Carlucci publicly called on the DOT to produce the study. That day, they joined with Alan Brody in Valhalla in Westchester County at the Commerce Street crossing. It's a crossing where on February 3, 2015, a Metro North commuter train hit an SUV that was stopped on the tracks, killing the driver and five people on the train. Brody's wife was the SUV driver. Here's Abenanti.
This just highlights how dangerous these rail crossings are. We have death after death after death, and the Department of Transportation does absolutely nothing. I don't know when, but somewhere along the way, the lack of action becomes negligence, and then our government and our government officials who don't act share some of the responsibility for the deaths of these people.
Abenanti and Carlucci say the new Main Street crossing in Valhalla had at least seven prior incidents involving trains between 1979 and 2017, and that's according to accident reports from the Federal Railroad Administration. Carlucci says that last year a truck was hit after getting stuck on the tracks, and in 2003 a truck driver was killed when his vehicle was on the tracks and struck by a train.
DOT keeps giving us excuses. We're saying the law is the law. That April 1st, 2017, we needed this inventory. We're losing federal funds. Lives are at stake. Injuries are happening. So enough is enough. We need action, and we need that now. If they're not going to deliver it, we're going to have to take another course to reach out to the Attorney General. Maybe it's even a court action needs to be taken. It shouldn't have to come to that, but the law is the law. It was signed by the governor. Now it needs to be enforced.
Abenanti says he, too, hopes it doesn't come to a court action, but says something needs to prompt DOT to produce the study, starting with urging the governor to push the DOT.
And I'm hopeful that the governor is going to do the right thing. He signed the legislation. He's spoken in favor of it, but this is a situation where it just hasn't happened.
Abenanti and Carlucci sponsored the legislation that Governor Cuomo signed in 2016.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. Tuesday this week marked the 17th anniversary of the September 11th attacks of 2001, forcing the primary in New York to be moved to Thursday. Meanwhile, the country paused on Tuesday to remember the victims and first responders lost in the attacks, including at SUNY Plattsburgh, where the college community gathered to remember the students from the campus lost when the Twin Towers collapsed, and the need to support first responders as health repercussions surface years later. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley was there and filed this report.
The Omicron Delta Kappa Leadership Honor Society coordinates the annual commemoration with the college's gospel choir. Omicron Delta Kappa president Amanda Lee Funari was 4 years old and in preschool in 2001.
I was the last person to be picked up by my dad, and I will never forget how tight he hugged me that day, tighter than he had ever before. There are many people connected to the greater SUNY Plattsburgh family that suffered. In particular, we have dedicated this memorial to two Plattsburgh State alumni who perished in the collapse of the World Trade Centers. They were Robert Sutcliffe, a 1984 graduate, and William Irwin, a 1992 graduate. We would also like to officially recognize Brian Scott Fab, who was a 9/11 first responder who died of cancer in March of 2017. Brian was a New York State trooper and graduated from SUNY Plattsburgh.
Fred Rogers once said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers."
SA President Jess Falace was in kindergarten.
There were 2,977 victims killed in the September 11th attacks. 412 were emergency workers, those helpers that I just mentioned. 343 firefighters of the New York City Fire Department, 37 police officers of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey Police Department, 23 police officers of the New York City Police Department, 8 emergency medical technicians, and 1 patrolman from the New York Fire Patrol. Gave their lives so that they could save others and so that we could have our lives today.
Town of Plattsburgh Supervisor Michael Cashman was an undergraduate student at SUNY Plattsburgh during 9/11.
All of us couldn't get a hold of family members. It was a very, very emotional time. It would take something very significant to prevent me from being here on campus. It's where I experienced the events that occurred, and there's something very somber but also very spiritual by being back with this community in reflection.
The Plattsburgh State Art Museum is displaying the sculpture Tempered by Memory by Noah Savitt, which contains recovered steel from the World Trade Center.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
That about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1837. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government, politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.